Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. It's Joe George, assistant to the regional manager behind the glass, doing a great job on that intro. It is a Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And Blankers, yesterday was the C.J. Stroud game. Could not have asked for a better performance from a rookie quarterback, and everybody nationally saying what we've been saying for weeks about the Houston Texan rookie QB.
Jeremy, if I may, this is the Allen Iverson game in the career of C.J. Stroud because he became the answer. He became the answer that everybody was looking for a franchise quarterback. Every week, with every time he had to answer another critic that said he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that, he wasn't quite this yet. Well, I'm anxious to see if anybody's going to nitpick anymore, because what he did was put it all on display and handle his business in a way that we have yet to see in Houston Texans history. This kid was phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah, he was really good. Leave it to you to make a basketball reference out of it.
It doesn't and have then, to be a basketball. I'm just, you know.
Well, I mean, Allen Iverson's very much a basketball
reference.
It is,
but I don't always do that.
No, I'm just saying that you did in this case. Yeah. And then, was Stroud the answer? Grade the blanker joke, 713-780-3776. You know, as good as that performance was, to me it was the second half, and I don't want to say legendary because it didn't have the stakes that's needed for it to be a legendary performance. Like, legendary, you need to do that to, you know, win a division title in week 18. You have to do that in order to win a playoff game, a wild card, whatever the case may be. But whenever you do it in week 9 of the NFL season, it can't be legendary. But if he had the stakes, it would have been a legendary performance. That second half, and look, the game in itself for C.J. Stroud was amazing, and we'll throw some numbers at you. 470 yards, broke the NFL rookie record, 5 touchdowns, unbelievable, 30 of 42. When he's throwing a lot of deep balls, too, if you're a quarterback rating kind of guy, just under 148. I mean, the numbers were insane. But I look especially at that second half, Blankers. 16, like, the game was at one point Tampa Bay led by 2 possessions. Mm-hmm. But it was always a 1-possession game. It was always tight. Now, did the Texans have to open it up? I would say yes, they had to because they were down by 2 possessions early in the second half, but also because it was necessary because they weren't running the ball and they haven't been able to run the ball all year. But when you looked at his first half, it was fine. Like, his first half was okay. 14 for 22, 145 yards and a touchdown. That's good. Yeah. Now, he missed a couple of passes to Tank early, missed the long ball to Tank. He wasn't perfect in the first half. He was nearly perfect in the second half. His second half performance, 16 for 20, when he had to throw the ball through the air, too. These weren't dinks and dunks.
Right.
16 for 20, 325 yards, 4 touchdowns. If there's been a better half of football in my lifetime than that regular season, I understand the stakes weren't there, but if there's been a better half than 16 for 20, 325 yards, 4 touchdowns, you have 46 seconds for a touchdown, you do that, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a half of football that was played better than C.J. Stroud had yesterday in that second half.
And you know, Jeremy, here's the thing. When you start thinking about it, he had help. And he had to, but you know what? You're doing it without your guy that was supposed to be your number one in Robert Woods, but you're doing it without one of your weapons. But everybody else was doing what they needed to do, extending, you know, yards after catch, a couple times Dalton Schultz, extending balls behind the markers and getting to first downs. But you know what? They weren't going to sit back and be conservative either. We talked about it. I think this was more what I wanted to see, whether they were behind or not. And we heard DJ Bieniemy say, well, you know, they're not going to abandon the run that much. But you know what? Because they were behind, they abandoned it probably more, but also because it wasn't effective. But I was counting this morning, and there were very, very few first down running plays. And on third down, when they normally would just run it in the middle of the line, accept it, and punt, they were letting him go, and he was letting it go, and they were getting first downs and keeping drives extended. And it was just so fun to see that we knew what we had in C.J. Stroud as a quarterback and what he could develop into. But now the whole team's kind of developing into what they need to be around him. And that was just, you know, the kind of coming together where it all came to fruition for this season alone. Because they've been good, and then they've been not so good. This one, everybody contributed, so it seemed, and they got it done as a team, and that's what made it extra special.
Yeah. Yeah, a good team win, too. Like, I see what you're saying. To me, it was Stroud that was special. Like, the statement that he made yesterday, and this is, I think the national, you know, types are always a little bit behind. You know, we see the throws that Stroud makes. I understand he didn't have, like, this unbelievable statistical performance against Carolina. He hasn't had a statistical game like this. No one has. Like, there's very few quarterbacks that have been able to do this. But whenever you put together this sort of box score for people that don't get to watch C.J. Stroud routinely, it's, oh, is C.J. Stroud already a top 10 quarterback? I saw one tweet that said, oh, should we be talking about C.J. Stroud as a top 15 QB? I'm sitting there thinking to myself, C.J. Stroud was a top 15 QB since week four. He's been a top 10 quarterback for me since the last month. So I think that national types are always a little late whenever it comes to reacting to other players that, you know, we see every single game, every single throw that they make. He put himself on the map nationally. He put himself in the conversation of top 10 quarterbacks nationally. And from a Houston Texan perspective, he kept them in the playoff race. I don't know how the rest of the season's going to go. I think that they have a shot with the schedule that they have. I don't love these injuries that are happening. Ridgeway tore his Achilles. How long is Pierce going to be out? You know, is the running game even going to help? How much longer is Robert Woods hurt? Jimmy Ward went down. Kyme Fairbairn got hurt. They didn't play. Yeah. They played the second half without a kicker. So there's a lot of injuries that are testing the depth of a team that doesn't have a lot of depth. That doesn't make me feel like terrific long term about the team this season. But because you have C.J. Stroud, you have a chance every single time that you kick off. So that's encouraging. But what this does is it shows to everybody, not just you and I, but it shows to us locally, shows to us nationally, that the Texans have a quarterback. And when you have a quarterback, you have a chance in every game. And when you have a quarterback, you're going to go into the offseason every single year trying to add on to a team that you think has a chance to be playoff good yearly.
Well, it's also because, Jeremy, now you know when you have a quarterback that he makes guys around him better. And we've seen it happen. So we know in the develop of Tank that it helps when they already had developed a chemistry and they were working on their timing well before training camp got started, to the point where you can see it coming to fruition. When you talk about, you know, kind of rejuvenating Robert Woods or getting Dalton Schultz, especially after the fumble on the first possession, and then going right back to him and then going to him time and time again to where there was still a trust there, and Dalton Schultz proved that he could still be a valuable weapon to this team. But you see that when he gets guys around him, he can make them better. And they can also obviously assist him and make him the quarterback that he can be. But he makes so many good plays. I saw Jimmy Johnson say this yesterday in terms of all of his years in football. And he said, you know that you have a winning franchise that can do a lot of things when you have a quarterback, a coach, and a defense.
Yeah.
And I think you got two of the three. And the third one ain't that far off because of the young players that are showing week in, week out that they can create some havoc on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, they have pieces. They don't have the depth there defensively. No. I think the defense was exposed a bit yesterday. So they have two of the three. I'll you know, echo what you said, and I'll give Jimmy Johnson that. It's like we talked about the other day. Do the Texans have a playoff core? If you have a top 10 quarterback and a good head coach, you have a playoff core. Now, the Texans do need to add pieces. They are still kind of in the infancy stages of, I mean, obviously they are. It's year one of CJ, year one of DeMeco. But it gives you a lot of hope going forward. 5970 Branham, it's time to jump on the bandwagon. We won't forget your lack of faith in Stroud. Joe, stay loyal, my friend, as usual. I've been on Stroud since week two. I had reservations during the whole draft buildup. I didn't love the fact that he was playing with a lot of great talent at Ohio State. Aside from the Georgia game, you didn't see this version of C.J. Stroud. It's hard to with as much talent as he had. But I was on Stroud pretty early at the start of the season, so I've been on the bandwagon for Stroud. I've been banging on the C.J. Stroud top 10 quarterback before a lot were, too. So was I a little late? I guess. But I was there since week two. whatever. Like, I mean, here you are going into the 10th week of the year, and you're talking about a rookie quarterback potentially being top 10 in the league. And I think even top 10 might be a little bit of a low bar for the talent that he has.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you let it all play out, but this isn't one of those deals where it's fool's gold, or when we talked about, like, some of the seasons like Deshaun and Dak have had in the past where they lead the league in passing, but because they're getting their doors blown off every game and they're down double digits and they just got to sling it all across the yard. If he's got to sling it, he can sling it. If he's got to stay within the offense, he can do that too. He makes all the throws, and obviously there's still room to grow. There's room to grow on the deep balls and some of the balls that he missed. But for the most part, because he's accurate, it's such a step above so many guys that come into this league and are so used to playing in college systems where their guys get 5 and 6 yards of pad and it's easier to catch a football. He's painting it into windows. He's putting it where it needs to go, and he's making the right decisions. This kid only has one pick to this point in the season through eight games. When you start talking about numbers like that and stats like that and then only one pick, you can't help but tip your cap and say, yeah, he gets it, and he's damn good.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that where Stroud's kind of checked all these boxes too, because we heard throughout the season when it came to C.J. Stroud, okay, well, let's see him do this. Like, his first game against the Ravens, like, it was what you would expect from a rookie. Mm-hmm. Like, it was choppy. Like, you saw a few throws where you're like, okay, like, this guy's got a chance to be really good. But it was very choppy, as you would expect for a rookie playing in their first ever game. No one expects a high bar for a rookie in game one. Then he had the Colts game where it's like, oh, okay. Like, we see some skill here. But then you had the caveat, oh, well, he did it in garbage time, even though it wasn't garbage time. They were just trailing, and they threw the ball a lot. Then he goes on the road, beats Jacksonville. He beats Pittsburgh at home, and it's like, okay, now you're starting to see all of the things start to click. And you saw it really, really fast with C.J. Stroud, and then it all came together yesterday in that second half to where he had the greatest rookie game that you've ever seen from a quarterback. And that's not hyperbolic. He set an NFL rookie record with 470 yards, and 325 of them came in the second half. It was incredible.
Passer rating, too, I think, in terms of overall rating and yards. I mean, like you said, you can cross all the boxes off for the season. You can cross all the boxes for a rookie quarterback, and both from a Texans perspective in their history and also NFL perspective, the kid is rewriting the record book in terms of the things he's doing in his first season.
I called dibs on C.J. Stroud conversation, so it's proprietary to us. So I want everybody to know that. Lots to get to when it comes to C.J. Stroud. Lots to get to when it comes to this team. Monday edition of the show, we hand out NFL game balls from the weekend. I believe Mondays, what did you learn from the college football weekend? And also a mailbag Monday coming up at 4:30 where you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN's our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Joel's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. The second half yesterday, to me, that's how they need to play football offensively. And I know that you're not going to produce what you produced in that second half. I'm talking about from a play calling, from a scheme perspective. What we saw in the second half is what this team needs to do going forward. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And what you need to do going forward, hopefully you're never in a car wreck. Knock on wood, hopefully you're never in a car wreck. But keep in the back of your mind, in case you ever are, you get rear-ended. You do the rear-ending. The first thing you have to do is call Hollingsworth Law Firm. They're going to take care of you, and you don't have to worry about paying them a dime because you do not pay a thing until you win.
That's right. Jeremy said it right. And that's the biggest thing you need to know, because there's just a few main points when you get in a car wreck. One, you need to have somebody on your side immediately because you feel alienated. You don't know which way to turn, who to call, get the police involved, get a report, whose fault, how do we find out? And then you need someone that's going to fight for you. Well, that's where the Hollingsworth Law Firm is at their best. That's why they have their website, carwrecktexas.com, because it's their specialty. That means it's not going to be one of the many things that they try to do on a daily basis. It's the best thing that they do, and they do it for you. And the other thing, as Jeremy mentioned, is you don't pay unless you win, which means they're going to be hyper-focused on making sure that you win. That means they're with you every step of the way. They're fighting the insurance companies. They're fighting against the other driver. They're making sure you get what you deserve and don't get screwed over.
I've been in a couple of wrecks in my life, always the other person's fault, of course. And the biggest annoying thing is those insurance companies. Don't deal with the insurance companies. Let Hollingsworth Law Firm do that. Call for a free consultation right now. 713-999-8773. 713-999-8773. And you can visit them online at carwrecktexas.com. That's carwrecktexas.com. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 8437, I, for one, have never had a better experience at a Texans game than I did yesterday. I also never had the chance to hear a loud NFL stadium like that until yesterday as well. Phenomenal game offensively. I do think we're going to see a lot more buzz at NRG. Like, I say this all the time, sports fans, not across the board, not just in the city, they're like slow-moving ships. It takes them a while to kind of turn the tide. You're starting to see NRG get a little bit fuller. You're starting to see it get a little bit louder. But now that you have the buzz, you have a team that's 500, you have a quarterback that everybody thinks is great, you're going to get a lot more positive momentum when it comes to people in their seats at NRG Stadium.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, look, we had talked about how necessary and meaningful it was that they started to get some positive pub, that they started to get people talking positively about them again. But it's kind of just like the same formula we're talking about on the field, but off the field, it just starts from you got a quarterback, you got a coach, and you got an organization now that at least wasn't so egotistical as to turn the other cheek to what everybody was telling them they were doing wrong and just decided they could do whatever they wanted to. And now, not that you have to cater to the fans, but they started to do things differently and become a kinder, gentler, softer version of an organization and tried to really value their fans. And with that all culminated in what we're seeing now. And now, because you're seeing success on the field, it's such a positive vibe that we haven't felt about this team in the last 4 or 5 years. And it's refreshing, and it's fun, and it's entertaining for the first time in a long time. You could sit down and watch a full Texans game and feel good about it.
Yeah, Watson had those moments, but you still had the Bill O'Brien. And if you felt about Bill O'Brien the way I did, you never really fully had that, right, like full faith. Like, I have more confidence in D'Amico. Maybe this is unfair, but I have more confidence in D'Amico than I do O'Brien currently or in the past. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go to our HRMP listener line. Jerry, you're in the high. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. First things first, good job for the Texans. I stopped being a Texans fan the day they traded, Bill O'Brien traded away Hopkins, and I finally came back around the day they drafted C.J. Stroud. I really liked Stroud coming out of college, and it was a great game. I just, I know I don't want to live in the past, but, man, the Texans had a great chance to be 6-2 if they would have just done this offense in Carolina and Atlanta, who are just bad teams. So I hope they can just carry this offense into Cincinnati, because it's not going to be an easy chance this weekend. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Look, I think that everybody, when you have revisionist history, there's a couple different ways to look at it, because we were trying to figure out, how quickly everybody was going to develop, how quickly everybody was going to settle in, from D'Amico to CJ to all the other young rookies on this team and second-year players. But when you look at it, the good news is they weren't blown out. They didn't get their doors blown off in any of these games that they lost. The bad news is they were in a majority of the games that they lost, to where you were like, yeah, you woulda, coulda, shoulda maybe had one, if not two of those games, but you don't. So you just have to keep going forward, realizing, hey, there's a lot of progress being made. There's a ton of positives from week to week. Are they out of it? No, not by any stretch. They're still only two games out from Jacksonville, and they have the tiebreaker currently. So they're just going to keep playing their game, and next week is obviously a tough game. But you know what? Everybody now that's playing against them is not going to take them for granted like they did for the last several years. They know they're going to be in for one hell of a fight when they play this team. And I don't think there's going to be any game that you're going to look at and go, they're going to get absolutely annihilated here, or they're going to embarrass themselves. I think that they become a real NFL football team again, so that's why people are starting to believe more and more.
Yeah, I actually thought what Jerry thought of last night too. Like, the Carolina game, it stung for a moment yesterday, like in the aftermath of the win and the aftermath of the performance, after you kind of let the afterglow burn off a little bit. You're like, oh, man, you should have really beaten Carolina. Because now you're talking about 5-3. And Jerry's right, you could be 6-2, because at Carolina, yeah, was a game that you should have won. At Atlanta was a game that you could have won. But on the other side of that, though, you could have lost the Saints game.
Yep.
You probably should have lost yesterday. So I agree with Jerry that they could be 6-2, but I also would argue that they could be 2-6.
Yeah.
So they're kind of where they should be, I think.
Yeah, and you look at the Atlanta game, too. I think that, you know, again, D'Amico's getting comfortable and getting understanding his job as head coach. They could have used the timeouts a little differently down the stretch. Maybe they had some time on the clock. Maybe they could have done something even after Atlanta did what they did. But I thought that they were in a position to win that game, and that one stung to me when it happened. But, again, I didn't expect too much of this team, and I didn't want to set too high of a bar. Of course, when they get off to the start that they got off to, everybody starts raising their expectations. They're still got a chance to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to be fighting for a spot. It's just nice to know now that as these things keep coming together, that they're going to have a fighting chance and maybe more of a chance than we thought earlier in the season when we talk about some of those big games coming up late. It's going to be a huge test this week. This will be a really good barometer to see if they go on the road and play well at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I saw Ja'Marr Chase has a back issue. They're saying that that's something to monitor. Who knows what's going to happen there way too early in the week. I don't want to talk about Cincinnati yet. It's a team that's really, really rolling. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line for the one and only Lamont. Lamont, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, man, Jeremy and Joel, I'm going to defend you guys, man, because, you know, anybody trying to go back and, you know, try to get receipts about what we said about C.J. Stroud. Man, we all had our doubts about that kid. And if we try to say anything different now, that's just a lie. We was all wrong. We was all wrong with that. But I think, I speak to myself. I'm not going to speak to you guys. My thing was I had a whole bunch of PTSD with the old way the Texans did things, and I still had that, and I realized that it was a new regime. So I really don't. I think I was wrong about it, and I can you know eat my crow. But I have another question for you guys. In the beginning of the season, or probably even within like the last two or three weeks, I've been saying we need a dominant running back, and we need a dominant receiver. Okay, forget about the running back, man, because that's there. But the whole receiver thing, I really like the fact that this receiving core, there's no number one receiver. There's no diva. There's no one that's going to be crowned for 15, 20 catches a game, attempts a game. I kind of like the way in other words, if you was to say right now, who's C.J. Stroud's number one receiver? Who do we favor? I mean, he's spreading the pill out around to everyone right now. And I would really like that guy from Ohio State, but I'm not really sure that that's a real necessary position right now, man. I'm kind of happy with this core. Of course, I would like to upgrade it, upgrade Robert Woods or something like that. But C.J. Stroud has proved that he doesn't have a number one receiver. He's going to distribute it to everyone. That's all I have, fellas, man. And you know, as far as people trying to, you know, pull receipts, man, that's crazy, man, because almost 99% of us had our doubts about C.J. Stroud. And if we're trying to say different, we're lying. And that's all I have.
Appreciate it, Lamont. No, he's absolutely right. I've said it on multiple occasions. I had a lot of questions and doubts about C.J. Stroud coming in, and I didn't know what they had. And if that means, you know, and to say that I thought that he was going to be this player this soon in this system with these players around him, then I'd be a liar. I've said on multiple occasions, I was wrong. And obviously it didn't take nearly the time that I thought it was going to take to make an evaluation on him one way or the other, regardless. But I was wrong in that regard. As it relates to what Lamont said, I think the best thing about some of the things like yesterday, Mike Evans was on the other side of the football field, and he saw what kind of quarterback the Texans have. If Mike Evans wants to come home, it's going to be a lot easier for him to say it's not just a financial decision, knowing that he would be coming into a situation where C.J. Stroud's the quarterback. I think you're going to get receivers that are going to want to come here, and they're going to have options. They can look at the draft. They can spend money in free agency. But the thing is, as kind of a spinoff of what we are witnessing, you're going to have more guys that want to come here that in the past would have said, Texans, maybe if I just get a big check, but otherwise, if there's another team that gives me close to the same money, I don't want to play in that situation. Now I think you do have guys that want to play here.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback helps. I think money, to your point, matters more, like you said, but the Texans have both. They have Stroud. They also have the money. They're going to have lots of salary cap space going forward. And they also have C.J. Stroud in a rookie deal, which is something that I hope that Nick Caserio takes advantage of and is really aggressive with C.J. Stroud on that rookie deal. As far as Lamont saying, like, the receipts and all that, I mean, everybody knows where I was at with that whole thing. It's not really worth getting over again. I thought Levis to me was the best quarterback that I watched on film. If you fast forward to where we are now, C.J. Stroud's the clear-cut, no doubt, number one rookie in this draft, period. Not just the quarterback position. You know, Jalen Carter's probably high on that list, too, but Stroud's easily, because of the position, easily the number one rookie in the NFL. I got there after week two just because I watched the film on Stroud, and I was like, okay, this guy's making throws that other guys aren't capable of making. You're going to see. Garbage time. No, Colts were playing some defense, and Stroud's making throws that other guys in the NFL can't make. I started to see that as soon as week two with Stroud. It was hard to predict this Stroud, though, because he wasn't this guy in college. Like, it was impossible for him to be this guy in college because he didn't get pressured like this. His receivers were wide open. The only time we saw C.J. Stroud perform to this level was the Georgia game. And maybe we should have actually put more stock in that one singular game because he was beating up the Big Ten so bad with, you know, he was obviously very good, but he also had a lot of really good people around him that it was tough to know what he was going to be like in the NFL. And that's not only on Stroud. Like, that's evaluating the quarterback position because there's dudes that are talented. Like, Stroud doesn't have the biggest arm in the quarterback class. I mean, Anthony Richardson and Levis have bigger arms. But where does Stroud elevate over those guys? He elevates in touch. He elevates in precision. He elevates in anticipation. He elevates in reading defenses. And those things are hard to evaluate watching college film.
Well, they are, Jeremy. And the other thing that you and I have talked about on multiple occasions, which is a lot of things that a guy takes with him at his skill sets as he brings from college into the NFL, you know, there are ways you can get better. You can get physically stronger. You can understand the playbook better. You can make better decisions. But throwing with touch is such a difficult thing to try and develop. It literally is a skill that isn't as simple as just getting the right coach and going to the weight room or doing something differently with your training. You either have it in a lot of cases or you don't. And so the biggest skill that he had coming out of this draft, I think, was the ability to feather the ball in and put touch on footballs and put it in a small window exactly where it has to be. Some guys never develop that to the levels that you would think a really good quarterback or a franchise quarterback has to have. He has it already. And what we saw early in the season was he put it on full display from game one. Like, the throws that he was making and where he was putting a football, not only were they where they had to be, and he was keeping receivers out of harm's way, but you're understanding this dude understands the game enough to where he doesn't want to hang a receiver out to dry, or he wants to keep him from and the ball from being out exposed to a defender. That's the thing that I think really stood out to me, was the how great his touch was.
We'll get to your reaction on this. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I also want to get to that second point that Lamont made about the receivers, because I think that these receivers need praise. And then I also wanted to get into that point where he brought up about, you know, Stroud's distribution. Do you need elite receiver to pair with C.J. Stroud, looking at it from a bigger picture? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you're looking for things on a bigger picture, it's always great to have some Gentle Ben. I've been telling you for what seems like years that Gentle Ben is the best. Whether it's the vodka, the gin, the straight bourbon whiskey, or the cask strength bourbon, it's all top shelf. And it all starts with the finest ingredients and classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses a revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. One of the things you'll love that's not in Gentle Ben are harsh solvents. Those are nasty elements that don't belong in your spirits, and they don't in Gentle Ben. You get all the flavor, none of the burn, unparalleled smoothness with an enjoyable drinking experience. Next time you head to dinner, ask for Gentle Ben. Next time you go to your bar, ask for Gentle Ben. Look for it at the liquor store, and if you're looking for plans, head to the Gentle Ben Tasting Room in Alvin. If you're going to a Rockets game, stop by Ben's Bar inside the Toyota Center and get some Gentle Ben as well. Also, you can now head to gentlebin.com and order the spirit straight from the website. That's right, gentlebin.com. They'll deliver it straight to your doorstep. Also, Gentle Ben makes the perfect holiday gift for friends, family, and your best customers. We know they'll love what's not in our spirits, too. Celebrate with Gentle Ben this holiday season. Gentle Ben, clean, smooth, and delicious. Best gift ever. 0170 says alcohol is a solvent, not a harsh solvent, and that's not in Gentle Ben. 713-780-ESPN. What Lamont talked about, like the spreading of the football from C.J. Stroud is something that encourages me, because I want a quarterback that's not – like every quarterback's wide receiver dependent. But I don't want to be an offense where, okay, we're going to target the best receiver in the NFL 24 times. Anybody else we're not going to even look at. I like a quarterback who distributes. I think that's why Andy Reid didn't pay Tyreek Hill and traded him. I think it's why Green Bay did it, maybe to an extent with Aaron Rodgers. I like the fact that C.J. Stroud can elevate Noah Brown. Noah Brown's never looked better in his NFL career. Dalton Schultz was good in Dallas, but did we ever think that Dalton Schultz, like somebody texted earlier, and this is a reach, that Dalton Schultz can be the next Travis Kelce. Like that's a reach. Yeah. But even that somebody's texting that shows you that C.J. Stroud is elevating Dalton Schultz. Tank Dell's a rookie. He's a third round rookie who's 5'6", and he's catching 6 passes for 114 yards. So I love the fact that the Texans have a quarterback, and he's a freaking rookie, that the Texans have a quarterback that doesn't need that elite receiver to elevate his game. No, they have a rookie quarterback who elevates everybody else's game, and I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I think that to Lamont's point, though, the one thing that would intrigue me that makes it kind of I wouldn't say a mandatory, but I still think it's a position of need that they need to go get is a wide receiver one. It's because if you get a true wide receiver one, especially if you can get one out of the draft, so you're not paying them $25 to $27 million a year, some of the outlandish salaries that we're seeing like a Tyreek Hill, but then defenses are going to have to respect that wide receiver one enough to probably give a little extra attention to, and then those guys that you're talking about have a chance to get even more open, better opportunities to get more footballs, because the defense can't focus on every one of those guys. And what you're doing is you're putting together a roster full of talented receivers that, you're right, see, we talked about it, CJ makes better, so that all these guys have to be respected. But if you have a true wide receiver one, and that's a defensive focus, whether he gets the ball or not, that's going to change everything for what might be open and what you have at your fingertips if you're CJ Stroud with the offense.
Yeah, I hear you, and I'm all for collecting talent, but I think it's more of a luxury than a necessity, because you say all of those things, and C.J. Stroud threw for 470 yards yesterday without a number one receiver. Like, I don't think that it's a necessity. Now, would I like Mike Evans in a Houston Texans uniform? Yeah, but if Mike Evans was in a Houston Texans uniform yesterday, does C.J. Stroud have a better game? Like, it's hard to think that he would have a better game. So I think that Stroud's the type of quarterback to where he's going to understand every single play, what the defense is doing. He's going to understand what's going to be open. And he's got such great anticipation, and a lot of times he's throwing his guys open. So I'm always in favor of more talent, no matter where it's at, but I wouldn't put wide receiver as one of the top priorities for this team in the offseason because of how good C.J. Stroud is.
Yeah, look, I think that we see it a little differently in the fact that I still think that they're going to look to try and find that wide receiver one, draft-wise or otherwise. And I do think Mike Evans, not that, you know, you take a game like yesterday in a microcosm and go, no, I mean, it's tough to have any quarterback to say with the numbers he put up that he was going to be better. But you never know that, you know, some of the balls that went incomplete that, you know, he can go up and he can high point and that he can be physical with could have helped him. But I think that when you look at it, to Lamont's point about having the running back that they need already, I don't think that they do. And I think that what we found out yesterday was that's an area that they're, through their draft picks, because I don't think that they should spend any free agency money on a running back. But I think that they need to upgrade that running back room regardless, because Singletary got thrown around a lot like a rag doll yesterday. And we know that it's a tough scheme fit as it looks at when you look at Pierce from time to time. And I think that they've got to figure out through the draft if there's a guy or two that can make that running back room and that offense better.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind spending a little bit money there, honestly, at that position. Now, I'm not shopping at the top of the market, but a veteran running back, I think, would go a long way for this team. I mean, lots that are going to happen between now and the offseason. I don't hate drafting one and signing one.
Yeah.
I do think that we learned yesterday that it's not a running back issue. You know, maybe they're not talented there. I will concede that. But it's not a, well, Damian Pierce is not a run scheme. He's not a scheme fit. Singletary is, and Singletary is going to be our answer. I think we learned yesterday that this team is just lousy running the football. I think it's mostly because they have an offensive line that's not good at run blocking.
Right.
But I also don't think that the running back room has a ton of talent.
That's what I was going to say. You know what? As much as, and we talked about this from the time that they moved Howard, was the fact that they were going to concentrate and do everything as they should to make sure that they keep their quarterback safe, first and foremost, top priority. And in doing so, we found out that they are fully capable of doing that in the with their pass blocking, to where we went from leading the league in sacks after two games to an offensive line that can hold its own in terms of protecting a quarterback. But the bottom line is, in doing all that they're doing to protect the quarterback, they also made it very clear they're not real good at blocking for any kind of running back. And that's something that you hope is going to change when everybody gets back to their natural positions and guys that are hurt come back.
713-780-3776. Out to the HRNP listener line. Travis, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Travis?
Hey, gentlemen. First of all, man, that was an incredible game. But like you said 20 minutes ago, we're two or three people away from being a really, really good team. I'm a firm believer that if Will Anderson didn't have that maroon A on his college shirt, we would have never traded those picks. And those are three monster picks. We're missing out. We're missing out on 12 from last year. Could have got a great defensive player still. Could have easily got Jordan Addison or even Sam Laporta. And then this year we'd have two number one draft picks, man. I really feel, even though I love D'Amico, he set us back a couple years by doing that. Don't hang up on me. I want to hear it because I'm no longer in my car. I want to hear what y'all have to say about that.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Look, I think that, again, we talked about the fact that whether it's the black cloud hovering over or just the cloud that's going to constantly be there to be discussed, we won't fully know and be able to, understand and be able to evaluate who won the trade or was it a trade worth making. It obviously looks different when the team is winning because now we're not talking about one of those top five picks that you gave away that can be so hyper valuable, but that remains to be seen. Look, I think you have to watch the game more than once and you have to really dive in to see some of the things that we see, that the coaches see, that other teams see, that Will Anderson is a very, very good football player that's only going to get better. And he is disruptive and he is athletic and he is strong. And he's physical. So I think that it would have been more difficult for me if this team was going to be what I thought they were going to be and only win a four or five games this season and then look at it and go, did you give away a top five pick that maybe could have helped CJ or really could have helped this franchise more? The fact that they're winning football games makes it a lot easier to swallow no matter how you figure out who won this trade.
Yeah, I don't love talking about this trade after week 9. Like, to me, it's a five-year trade, the way you're going to look at it. But this is this team is C.J. Stroud's team, right? Like, we can all agree that this team belongs to C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud's the promise of this team. He's the team that he's the reason that you have hope on this team. The more the Texans win, the softer the landing spot is. We were sitting here talking about how bad the running back room is for the Houston Texans. Jahmyr Gibbs was the 12th pick. You know, Dalton Schultz is great. He's been really, really good. Sam Laporta was there at number 33. So those are things that I think about. Now, I like Will Anderson. I think Will Anderson's been good. His pass rushing's been fine. He just needs to finish. Now, against the run, he's been really, really good. And I still think he has tremendous amount of potential. He did get hurt yesterday, and that's worrisome. Like, he played one snap after the two-minute warning and then limped off the field after having a leg injury earlier in the game. And I haven't heard anybody really talk about that, so I don't love that he got hurt. Hopefully he's okay and there's nothing more to that. But I like Will Anderson and I like his potential still. 713-780-3776. Let's go up to the HRMP listener line again. Vera, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Vera?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you letting me call in. I think there's going to be enough CJ Stroud talk today, but I will say the one play that really stood out for me yesterday among all the other great plays was the little shoulder shimmy that he did to just hold the safety back and then tank their run to the back end. I think it was probably late third quarter. I believe it was late third quarter. That was a great play. I mean, that's something that pro quarterbacks, I mean, more experienced pro ball level quarterback caliber quarterbacks do, you know, with a fake pump or a shoulder shimmy just to hold one of the defensive backs back. The other thing that was also positive for me was to see that Christian Harris was making a lot more plays. I think Henry To'o has taken away a lot of snaps because he's been, I guess, much more of a mobile and in coverage. But when you did need the a good linebacker to make good tackles against their opposing skill players, Christian Harris counted well. That said, I don't know what they still see in Titus Howard as the inside offensive line, as the left guard. I mean, I know they want their best five players, but best five players does not mean it's the best five combination. I still think they need to move him back to right tackle and probably figure out once, you know, Juice Cobb is back, or, you know, Josh Jones, as terrible as Josh Jones was, I mean, this guy missed at least 1.5 sacks. So I want to kind of get your thoughts on it. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Vera. Look, we're up against it. We're going to get into more of it. But, I mean, look, I think that from the standpoint, yeah, we have talked a lot about C.J. Stroud, and we know that he is doing things that a lot of veterans do. But I think that when you look at overall, look, I think Christian Harris was a guy that stood out to me, Jeremy. I saw him because, you know how high I was in his rookie year when he started playing, and I expected him to take the next step. And he actually took a step back, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, and he wasn't getting as many snaps. And all of a sudden yesterday he was all over the field again, and he was doing the kind of things that I was expecting to see week in, week out. That was very encouraging. But I think, you know, when you look at overall what they're going to do, how they're going to add to this team, and how they're going to take it to get the next level, I think that now it's an encouragement that you've got the right coaching staff in place, and you know that you're going to have a variety of different ways that you can enhance this team. With a defensive-minded head coach, no matter who DeMeco brings in, you got to believe that he will target a guy that fits his system, that's going to make his system better. And then, as we talked about, you know, if Dalton Schultz is one and done or he stays here, he's going to be a guy that's a weapon, but you need a tight end. And you know that you're going to look at the offensive line differently when they're healthy, because Titus Howard was signed to be your right tackle. But right now, out of a position of need with no one really else to choose from, you have to do what you have to do just to survive. And that's what they've been doing, because I don't think you or I or anybody else would have said, oh, yeah, I don't think they would have given up many sacks since they gave up the 11 in the first 2 weeks, and they would have been able to rectify that problem that quickly, and they've been able to survive.
Yeah, I think I'm with Vera here, and I've advocated for Titus at left guard after the injuries and the, you know, you're going to have to play Dieter there after the Josh Jones thing, but he's been bad at left guard, like bad. And you paid him all the money, which it wasn't something that we loved at the time. I do think that you need to move him back out to right tackle and figure out something else at left guard. And plus, I think this team needs to be more pass-oriented than run-oriented. So what is your best offensive line look like from a pass-blocking perspective? To me, it's Titus at right tackle. So I agree with Vera there. The linebackers were interesting yesterday because Toa Toa has been playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that played the least. You look at the snap count, Cashman played more than anybody else. Christian Harris was up there and Perryman was up there. So look, I think Toa Toa was like in the 20s in terms of percentages of how much he was on the field. But he was on the field whenever he gave up that touchdown to Otten that gave Tampa the lead with 46 seconds left to play. 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. We'll get to that, the Texans offensively in the second half, how they need to play offensively in the second half. They need to do that going forward all year long. We'll get your thoughts, too. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, it's the season. It's the season. Basketball season is here. In fact, today is day one of the college basketball season. So you're probably going to be in the mood here soon, if you aren't already, to shoot some hoops. You might have a kid who's playing high school ball, AAU ball, middle school, whatever, and they want to shoot some hoops. If you want to shoot hoops, you have kids that want to shoot hoops, you need a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's height adjustable, too, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in case you want to throw down some jams. Or you have a real little one that needs to lower the goal so you can get the basketball to the rim. 5 feet to 10 feet is the range, and they have the best goals you'll find. Unlike anything you'll see in a big box store. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play, which you might need now more than ever because it gets dark super early now after we change the clocks. But LED light kits, look, you work, we get it. Your kids go to school, we get it. The only time you have to play is at night. Well, you can do that with these LED light kits. Backstop nets, too, so you don't have to waste your energy chasing after the basketball. Pole pad lettering and lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation online. Yes, the pros at ProDunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You're not good with a drill. You're not good with a hammer. You don't have to worry about it. You just worry about these pros getting to your house, and they'll do all the work. You don't install. Let the pros do it for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com. That's some astute observations you have there, Spence. 713-780-ESPN. He's blank. I'm Branham. A lot's been talked about. Is this a run-first team? Is this a pass-first team? To me, it's a Stroud-first team. C.J. Stroud's by far your best offensive player. As this offense goes, or how C.J. Stroud goes is how this offense goes. We've talked about ratios of, you know, what do you want to see in terms of pass and rush? Do you want to see 40 throws to 20 runs, 35 throws to 25 runs? The split yesterday was 42 throws to 17. And look, game script's going to influence that. If the Texans are up by two touchdowns, they're going to obviously run the ball a little bit more. The way that I look at it going forward, though, the way that Slowik opened up the offense yesterday, Blankers, mm-hmm. I think that the Texans have to do that going forward. And I know you have a defensive-minded head coach. You have a philosophy within this staff that thinks, you know, let's run the ball really, really well. Keep the offense off on the field, defense off the field. Go play good defense whenever we have to. All of that. When you have a quarterback like this and you have the personnel that you have, I mean, receivers look good, running backs don't, offensive line pass blocks well, they don't run block well. To me, you just got to put the ball in C.J. Stroud's hands. And it's not saying throw it 50 times a game, but everything that you need to do against every opponent the rest of the way is to know in your mind, we're not run first, we're not pass first, we're C.J. Stroud first and foremost.
I think it's as simple as prosper first, right? Instead of run first, pass first. Prosper first. If you know there's a matchup that has against a team that has a lot of difficulty stopping the run and Pierce is healthy and you've got the opportunity to do some things to where you can still run the football consistently, especially if it's effective early, then you do so. But to the point you're making and the point that we've made previous to this is you go with your strengths. You go with the way you're able to move the football. You go with where you've been successful until someone proves they can stop it. And that's with CJ in the passing game. And as much as when we had DJ in the studio and we were all talking about it and you guys were you know, breaking down, should he throw it 40 times or not? I get it that you need balance and everything like that, but I wasn't even going to poo-poo on that because of the fact that it was so stagnant and so tough to watch how they were force-feeding a run that wasn't effective when their passing game was. So I love seeing this team just open up and be who they're supposed to be when they're at full strength and they're successful, which is a passing first team, because they do it better than a lot of teams in this league, and they're scoring points and moving the football doing so.
Yeah, I mean, Stroud's your best player. You do what you got to do from an offensive play calling perspective to put the ball in the hands of your best player. Like the Carolina game, I think was. I mean, I like Bobby Slowik. I think Bobby Slowik drew up a lot of really good stuff yesterday. Like, Tampa Bay knew you were throwing in that game. They knew you were throwing in the second half. They knew it. They knew it. They were talking about it, too, that the biggest compliment you can give to a quarterback is when you don't blitz. You didn't see much blitzing yesterday in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, because Todd Bowles knows that C.J. Stroud was picking him apart when he blitzed. Tampa knew they were throwing it, and what did C.J. Stroud, what did he do when Tampa knew he was throwing it? They went 16 for 20 for 325 yeah. yards through the air when they knew they were throwing it. And the run game would look much better in the second half, too, because now you have a defense that's like, okay, well, they're going to throw it 20 times in the second half. Now running lanes open up. So that's the strength of the team. Like, that's currently the strength of the Houston Texans, and a large part of that is because you do have C.J. Stroud as your quarterback, and C.J. Stroud's really stinking good.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely correct. And I think that when you look at it, too, when you saw the conversations, even with Bowles, with Stroud after the game, there was a ton of respect there. And that's from a guy that's one of the best defensive play callers in this league over the past, say, 5 to 7 years minimum. And the fact that he wasn't able to do a lot of the things that has been his signature to do with exotic blitz packages and guys coming from different areas just is another testament to the respect that he has for this young quarterback. And so that's why you have to play to your strengths, too, because they didn't run it, you know, almost every first down this game. They did change things up. But to your point on Slowik, and I agree with you totally in the Carolina game, just the same way that we said we expected growing pains and a stinker here or there from CJ and from D'Amico, it also falls right into play that you would expect that from Slowik, too, because this is his first time play calling and in this OC position, and he's bound to make some mistakes, too. So you kind of just, you know, you understand that you put a Band-Aid on it, you go move past it, but those things were bound to happen in his first year calling plays and scheming, but he obviously corrects his mistakes pretty quickly because he schemed differently this week and the way that they were able to call the plays they played and effectively move the football was fantastic.
I wanted to see this last week, and I don't want to criticize them too much. I thought they should have been here a game earlier. It took them a game and a half too late, I think. But yeah, credit to them for not continuing to do that. I suppose, and I get where they're coming from. Like, you have a rookie quarterback, you feel like you have to be able to establish the run game. I get it. It's just your strengths. Like, I'm a keep it simple, stupid kind of guy. Your strength is throwing the ball, so you throw the ball a little bit more. 2650, from what I've heard, if the trade didn't happen, we would have drafted Anderson at 2 and passed on Stroud. So the trade, for all intents and purposes, was for Stroud. I hate this take because you look at the timeline, you look at the order of events. What happened? The Houston Texans took C.J. Stroud at number 2. Nick Caserio told us there was 90 seconds left before they made the trade that was still left on the clock for number 3. They then took Will Anderson at 3. If all of a sudden Arizona was like, you know what, we're not feeling it, we have a better offer, what happens? You don't trade up for 3 and you still have C.J. Stroud. I cannot stand the logic and the argument. If the trade didn't happen, we would have drafted Anderson at 2. Because look at the timeline. Look at the order of events. That's not an accurate take.
No, and whether you believe that the McNairs actually said this is the year you get a quarterback or not.
I don't believe that, actually.
And I have a hard time believing, no matter what they were trying to do and get more involved, I have a hard time believing that Hannah and Cal McNair would have gone into a room with all the guys that have done all the research and done all the work and told them who to draft, like Dan Snyder would or Jerry Jones would. I don't believe that to be the case. Now, did they share some opinions? They have every right to. They own the damn team. But at the end of the day, this is who they hired to do their job, to do the jobs that they were hired to do. I can't see them doing that, and especially because this was D'Amico's first year and because this was such a hyper-important draft for him, for the franchise, and even for Caserio. I can't see that happening. But, yeah, I mean, look, you can nitpick all you want about the trade, but, you know, did they do things that they were going to do otherwise? We'll never know, and maybe someday someone will tell us. But at the end of the day, this was a quarterback draft for them. And I think that they were hell-bent on going to get a quarterback. Yeah, it was out there. Could they take Will Anderson and then, you know, see what happens, plan for a quarterback next year? They could have. I just didn't see it happening.
But they also risked not getting Anderson by drafting Stroud at 2. The moment you draft Stroud at 2, even if you're pretty confident you can make the trade, you're still risking the possibility of not getting Anderson. Like, the order of events matters here. The fact that you drafted Stroud 2 matters. The fact that you traded for 3 after picking it 2 matters. There was 90 seconds left on the clock. That matters. As far as the ownership thing, I know that's a big rumor. I listened to the Bobby Slowick. He was on with Adam Schefter last week. Bobby Slowick goes pretty deep into the evaluation process of C.J. Stroud and how much, like, what they liked about him, things that he did whenever they visited that made them fall in love with him. Like, I've always been on the fence with the ownership thing, wanting a quarterback. Whenever I heard Slowick talking to Schefter about, like, how they landed on C.J. Stroud, I don't at all, one iota, at all believe that ownership impacted who was picked at 2.
Well, and I hope they didn't. I really do, because I hope that that's the way the – and we've talked about this. If you don't know what you don't know, so don't get involved and do what a lot of dumb owners have done, which have set a franchise back. So I would hope that to be the case, and that's the way you want this franchise to be run. And so that would make me feel even better, because the one thing – we can both be accurate in what we said, because I think that we all were under the impression, one way or another, they were taking a quarterback with their first draft pick. And like you said, and the timeline – I think that they were hell bent on taking either Bryce Young or taking C.J. Stroud, but they were going to take a quarterback this year. And you're right, the timeline plays that such that if you're taking C.J. Stroud, whether you got Will Anderson or not, you knew who you were taking first.
713-780-ESPN. Let's give some game balls out. Who deserves some game balls from around week 9 of the NFL season? 713-780-3776 if you have some game.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.